I've never been a big fan of bumper stickers. They're often political or rude or way too self-disclosing. But every once in a while, I see one that makes me pause and think, what could that message mean to the person stopped at the traffic light in front of me? What can I learn from this small adhesive piece of paper slapped to the back of a stranger's vehicle? What does this tiny billboard teach me about the way the world is, or how it ought to be? A recent encounter with a bumper sticker on a silver four-door sedan got me thinking more about Sabbath, our topic in our gospel lesson for today. Sabbath, as I've always understood it, was about rest. The seventh day of the week, marked by God in creation, as a day to refrain from work, a day to refrain from strain, a day to just chill out. After all, God rested from all the work of creation on the seventh day, so why shouldn't we? Now, the bumper sticker that I saw was not religious. It didn't say, Jesus saves, or relax, or Hobby Lobby, closed on Sundays. No, the bumper sticker that I saw said, I owe, so off to work I go. It was comical, I must admit, but the more and more I thought about it, I wondered, does that person hate their job? Are they always going to work when they're driving? Who exactly do they owe, and what on earth do they owe them? I could have just left it at that, but I'm a classic overanalyzer and a priest preparing to speak to my congregation about Sabbath. So instead of just letting it go, I decided to extrapolate some deeper meaning from this tiny piece of adhesive paper slapped to the back of a stranger's vehicle. I owe, so off to work I go. I wonder what this might have meant to Jesus if it were pasted on the back of his donkey or boat as he traveled from town to town spreading the gospel. Today we meet Jesus in an unnamed synagogue where he heals an unnamed woman from an unnamed disease, an ailment, an affliction, one that has forced her to walk hunched over, looking only at the ground for 18 long years. Now, we don't know the woman's age, but given the life expectancy of a woman in that time and place, it's safe to assume that this woman's debilitation may have very well been present for more than half of her life. It had for certain become her normal mode of operation, the only thing she knew. She'd probably forgotten what it felt like to be free from it, if she had ever felt free from it in the first place. So here we have Jesus going about his business, teaching in this unnamed synagogue on a Sabbath day, when the unnamed woman appears in front of him. She does not ask for healing, and no one asks on her behalf. But Jesus, who is present enough to realize her presence, stops what he is doing and heals her. At first, he simply declares it, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." But then, in an act of defiance, Jesus touches the woman, reaches out, and touches her. A woman considered to be unclean in the eyes of society. And she stands upright and begins praising God. It's not a small thing that Jesus lays his hands on her. We know that from other healing accounts in Jesus' ministry, he does not need to touch her in order for her to be healed. He cured many others by simply saying that they were cured. He brought people back to life just by telling them to get up and live. So we know that he did not need to touch her, but instead did it because it was necessary to show those watching and us that liberation is messy, and sometimes you have to get your hands dirty in order to truly free someone. Now Jesus has broken the rules. And as we know, when the rules are broken, someone is bound to be upset. Often, it is the person or people that the rules benefit or protect. And here in our gospel is where we meet the unnamed leader of the synagogue, a man charged with keeping things in order, making sure the rules are followed, keeping structures in place that oppress, but also keeping things quiet and clean. He is indignant, outraged that Jesus would seek to heal on the Sabbath day. So outraged, in fact, that he does not only address Jesus in telling him how wrong this is, but addresses the entire crowd with a reminder that working on the Sabbath day is strictly forbidden. Now here's where our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah comes in handy. Because now we're stuck in a place where defining work becomes crucial. This is where we ask ourselves, what does it mean to work? I owe, so off to work I go. What could that possibly mean to you and me? Work, as the prophet Isaiah says in our first reading today, is about the pursuit of self-interest, toiling for our own needs, our own progress, our own self-preservation. Work is about making sure that I've got what I need and what I want, and that effort is put into making sure I maintain my place in society, and that I don't lose any of the privileges I have, whether they were earned or given to me. Work is what the unnamed leader of the synagogue was doing in the gospel when he stood up to tell everyone that Jesus was breaking the rules and that this sort of behavior was unacceptable. He was serving his own self-interests, pursuing his own affairs, making sure that the rules which kept him high and the crippled woman low were not broken, lest he be asked to give up some of himself to liberate this woman held in the bonds of oppression and exploitation. Jesus responds plainly, as long as she wears the yoke, as long as there is bondage and oppression, disease and separation, I will be working. However, I will not be working for myself, but rather for the salvation of the world. God rested on that seventh day because God looked at all that God had created, and indeed it was very good. God rested because all was right in the world. We humans hadn't had enough time to mess it up quite yet. Things were blissful and beautiful, and rest came naturally because things were right. Isaiah reminds us that if we strive to remove the yoke from among us, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if we offer our food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, if we liberate one another, set one another free, then our light will rise in the darkness and our gloom be like the noonday. Sabbath, I have found, is not about not working. It's about not working for ourselves. It's about replacing complacent business with an active holiness. I-O, so off to work I go. This doesn't have to be some gloomy mantra for paper pushing or arduous undertakings of answering emails or going to inefficient meetings or just passing time that seeks to maintain a broken system. I-O, so off to work I go can be a celebration of praise and thanksgiving. It can be a rejoicing, a call to serve a God that has given us more than we can ask or imagine. Work can be about liberation, about setting one another free, about setting ourselves free from all the expectations we've built up in our lives. Work can be about providing rest for others, about getting our hands dirty, even about breaking the rules. Work can be about striving to know ourselves the way God knows and loves us. In that way, self-care does not have to be selfish. It can be about discovering who God is calling us to be. Work can be about giving back some of that which has been given. Today is the Sabbath day. This worship is the beginning and not the end of your devotion to God. When you leave this place, go and work for good. Go cook a meal for someone. Go plant a garden. Go read a book. Go have a conversation with someone who has a different opinion than you. Go be with your children, your grandchildren, your friends, the poor, the sick. Speak out against injustice and exploitation. Make things right with someone you've written off. For our true work, like the work of Jesus, is to do the will of God, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and release to those who are imprisoned. Our Sabbath work is a celebration of liberation, and we can rest when we have worked to set others free. We can bask in the glory of this holy day when we all move about this world with a little bumper sticker on our hearts, the vehicle of our hearts that reads, "Your liberation is bound up with mine." Let us work together. Amen.